Happy Chandler once said, "I never met a Kentuckian who wasn't either thinking of going home or actually going home." While we completely agree, we girls think that the same is true for all of Appalachia. It is a very special place to live and grow, especially for artists like ourselves. Thank you for joining us for Weird Appalachia. I'm Erin.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Brooke.
So for episode 10, we wanted to do something very special for you guys. Today, we're talking about living in Appalachia and how it has shaped us as artists.
Yes. Yeah.
But before we get too far into it, let's talk about the expectations of an Appalachian artist now compared to how they used to be. Because, you know, in years past, Appalachian art and folk art and stuff is, and it's something we've talked about before, it's kind of a stereotype.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I think we get stuck in the primitives. The core.
Definitely.
Like the barns, the sheep, the angels.
I think it's very important to keep the culture here alive. That is important.
But, I definitely agree.
I think that there is a big expectation, just like, you know, we were talking about before, or Jess was saying yesterday, that it, you know, people tend around here to want to buy things that are, you know, Appalachian oriented.
Yeah.
And if you're outside of that box, you know, they don't want it.
Well, I just feel like a lot of people have a hard time being their true self because they have a hard time wondering if somebody's going to think something weird about them just because they like a certain thing or if they hang, you know, like maybe a nude painting in their house, they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, we're very afraid of judgment
around
here.
You need to censor that, the children.
Well, for an example, when we were at Art in the Yard, one of the artists that was there and her husband, she told me specifically, she said, my mom hates my artwork and my husband's artwork.
Oh, my gosh.
She said that she tells her, I want to love it so much, but I don't. So it's, you know, that's kind of how it is.
I just think we, even as a child growing up and, you know, just painting and trying to learn who you are and figuring out yourself as an artist and what you like, you still feel like you're closed up in a box because, oh, don't step over this, because if you step over that line, somebody's going to say something or think something of you that is not true.
I think we've all experienced that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Especially as a young artist, I always feared being judged for some of the weird crap I would make, and a lot of it I just didn't show anybody. I still created it.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot, like, I remember when I kept, just recently, when I started back painting, you know, like, constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, I never did it when my kids were little, just because, you know, you're just so busy, and, you know, I still made things and did things for people, but I never really done it for myself. Mm-hmm. And then here recently, you know, like, I have the foam head that I glued to a canvas, and my mother-in-law, she literally stood outside of a school and was like, are you okay? I'm just worried about you lately and just some of the stuff that, you know, that I've seen you paint, and are you okay?
Without realizing that's Vince been there the whole time.
And I was just like, I'm fine. I mean, I'm just doing what I like. I don't really, you know, because I don't,
it just happens.
I was like, ooh, you know, foam head, that would look nice on a canvas. Let's do that.
But on a positive note, though, you know, I think that that's changing now.
It is.
And if you live here and you're involved in the art community, there's not that many people that still do that kind of thing. The original.
Yeah, it's changing a lot. And
you know, we had a lot of people.
Well,
like Kentucky Art Rat.
Yeah. I think social media has kind of brought it up to the forefront, you know, kind of, it's not that weird for people to do, you know, stuff like that.
And also there's a lot of eccentric people that live in this area.
Yeah, they really are.
They've always have, but they've kind of been in the background. But now it's kind of, they're coming out of the woodworks and being like, not ashamed to kind of show exactly what that they do and
Well, I think it's just because we're living in a time that's really awesome because everything is so accepting.
Yes.
Yeah. Even absolutely.
Though, you know, like even though you don't, you may not agree with the person, you still accept them for who they are.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very happy to see that not only are our Appalachian artists not afraid to be weird and be crazy, but they're also kind of tying it into their Appalachian roots.
That's what, yeah. That's,
just like Steph Ratliff, Kentucky art
rat. She's a perfect example.
She is.
She has all these wonderful Appalachian roots. You know, she does these crazy guitars and banjos and just all kinds of neat stuff with, you know, old country singers and stuff like that. But there's a twist.
Yeah, there's always something uniquely Appalachian about everything she makes, no matter how wild it is. There's always like mason jars and moonshine and stuff.
Which is folk art in its own way.
It is.
It really is. Know?
So
it's some of the coolest folk art I've ever seen.
Yeah, I love her work.
I'm a big fan. We talk about her, you know, a lot on this podcast, but it's just because the work's very good.
Yeah.
And she's a very good example of today's...
She's a perfect example of weird Appalachian.
Yes, and today's Appalachian.
Lord, the motorcycle.
Yeah, we just sit over here at the art bar in Sagersville and record, and we see lots of traffic pass.
Sometimes we get horns.
Yeah. Shout out to Dylan.
Our friends that know we record and they'll honk from time to time. And Dylan, he's been a guest on our podcast before, so hi, Dylan.
But we went and recorded, and then we had already quit. It was pretty funny, though. But all of a sudden, he just gets a text. Oh, I'm so sorry. Was you recording?
But growing up here in Appalachia, I feel like we have a very unique look at the arts. Mm-hmm. Because not only do we have Appalachian folk art and stuff, we... As a people, I don't think people realize it, but a lot of things that are very Appalachian are very creative. Mm-hmm. Quilting.
We're very do-it-yourself people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's all this stuff like, you know, back in the day, there were social things like, you know, people would get together and quilt and families garden and can
still do
food
that.
Together.
And
these are traditions that I'm hoping to see continue.
Yeah.
But they shape who we are.
Well, I can remember my granny. She talks about it all the time. But, you know, because you only got a few awesome stories that I guess you can tell through your lifetime 1,000 times to your kids. But she would talk about the pie dances. Mm-hmm. And they really, I mean, honestly, they did these up until the 80s. And they still do cakewalks.
Yeah.
Where, you know.
We should bring this back.
Yes. That'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome for Art in the Yard. We'll do an art walk.
Oh, and just for our listeners who may not follow us on social media, and if you don't, what the hell, guys?
Yeah, follow us. What's the matter? It's just a click of a button.
But we've been plugging our event, Art in the Yard, for quite a while, and it happened over the weekend, and it was amazing. And it's basically just an art yard sale.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of us artists and live music and amazing food. We plan on doing another one, so keep your eye out for that. And follow us. Come on now.
Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, just everything that we do, we've learned, it's been passed down. It's not been, you know, we didn't grow up with the age of watching a tutorial on YouTube. It was,
absolutely.
You learn how to can or you learn how to pick beans or I can remember sitting on the porch just snapping beans with my other grandma and, sorry, my nose is like running. But, you know, canon, I think, is a lost art or is, you know, a lot of people are losing that.
Yeah.
Learning how to draw herbs, you know, like Debbie is bringing that back.
Our friend Debbie Conley.
You know, just all kinds of different things. Watching my granny sew by hand or watching my great granny pull taffy out in it. 40 degrees weather, you know, it wasn't inside of a kitchen. She would have this one big slab of marble that her and her neighbors would all use together, and they were outside pulling taffy.
That's so funny.
We've lost this social element of the things that we grew up with.
Yes.
And a lot of it probably is just because of, you know, the information age.
It is because of
the technology and everything.
Because I specifically remember so many memories like that. Even, I mean, we all have different ones, mm-hmm. but a lot of them are the same too because of where we grew up. And, you know, I have memories of sitting on the porch with my grandmas and great grandmas, like, you know, they just pick green beans and you're stringing them. And,
everyone has know, that amazing. And I still love to do that to this day.
It's so, like, calming and relaxing, but it's so weird. Like, if you don't live here and you've not grown up here, you're like, that's so,
yeah, I'd say a lot of people.
Strange.
I find it strange that some people has never even stepped foot in a garden.
No, it's
so weird because, you know, like, you don't even know where your food comes from. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of
you don't know what kind of backbreaking work that is.
Yeah.
That's hard work.
It is.
But it's so worth it. And, you know, we in Appalachia, I don't know so much about the younger generations. I can't speak to that experience. But I know that we were taught, you know, not to be wasteful,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, try to do things for yourself, to grow and preserve food.
Yeah.
Because you never know. I remember my grandma always saying, you never know, you might need this.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would can lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah.
And in that whole nature of, you know, just don't throw things away.
Well,
Try to fix it before you toss it.
Mm-hmm. Even some of the younger generation, because I'm, you know, you pass that down to your children. And, you know, or your nieces or nephews, even still, you know, they have a different outlook on life just because they are from here.
Yeah.
But, like, my kids, they know, like, we save everything. Like, I can remember my grandma, and still now we save coffee cans, and I save cans myself just, you know, to do certain things with, or to make things out of, or you know, just jars,
mm-hmm.
Starbucks bottles. I mean, anything that can be used, we save.
It's because Appalachia didn't directly shape our own art styles. It's like for me, I started making a jewelry line called Pickle Lily. And it's actually the word pickle lily. Because as a child, I remember my family canning, gardening, and they would always make Pickle Lily.
Yes.
And it's spelled differently, but as a child, my little child brain thought they were saying pickle lily, like a pickle flower. And it's basically just, you know, scraps and things that are kind of put together in a particular recipe and canned and preserved. And that's kind of the whole thing that I do with my jewelry. It started with me just collecting scraps of wood or beads, string, and just trying to make something out of them. So now, even though I do purchase things, because there are always things you have to buy, I still will incorporate lots of little crazy things that I find. So most of it is one of a kind.
Yes.
Yeah. Me and Aaron, we were talking yesterday, and it was like, because my husband did something so sweet for me over the weekend. He bought two paintings off Brooke that I wanted so badly and didn't let me know. And so I asked Aaron to do me some lyric art to go with him.
Oh, yeah.
But we were talking about, you know, exchanges because we are barter people.
We really are.
And she's like,
I will art
she's
trade
like,
all day long.
Girl, if you got some more wood, I'll take that.
Yeah, we've done that before.
It's like, you just don't even know, like, my box of potentials.
I've done design work for Jess in exchange for wood for crafts. So
yeah, she's just lucky that my husband stays busy.
It's like what was it back in the day before currency? They just traded.
Yeah,
I love the barter system. You know, like do this for me, I'll do that for you. That's a law system, and you know, if you think about it,
if we didn't have to pay mortgages, you know,
yeah, a lot of it just comes from growing up in a poor area.
Yeah.
Trading goods and services for goods and services.
Yeah, I can.
People still do that out here.
Well, I can remember my mom cleaning people's houses just so that she could go and pull the grapevine so she could make the wreaths and, you know, all the stuff that you do with that. But, Brooke, what about you? How did your childhood shape out?
Shape out?
Yeah, how did it shape out or ship up?
I think that all of you guys, everyone here can relate if you're, you know, in any way, but especially if you're an artist, that growing up here, especially in our generation, it was difficult because there was no outlet for anyone that was not interested in, you know, the main things, sports, all that. But, you know, in school, there was not a lot of art-oriented things to do. Outside of school, there were no extracurricular art things to do.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, okay, I like this, but this is just a hobby, and I'll never be able to do anything with this.
That's, you know, yeah.
It's how it makes you feel, like as a kid too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say too. A lot of people would say that. I mean, I can remember a lot of people saying that anyway. Well, you need to do sports, and they still do that.
Yeah.
Get you a scholarship so you can go to a good college.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, college is not for everyone. That's just true. And sports is not for everyone. And I think it was hard as a kid here in that aspect. It was easier in other ways, but hard in that way. If you are not into the mainstream things that everyone else is into, it makes you want to leave. And that's what I did. I mean, as soon as I turned 18 and I graduated high school, I left. And I didn't come back for the next 7 or 8 years, you know, because I just kind of needed that. I think I needed that to leave and figure out what it is that I wanted to do and myself. And I think that's important for some people, not all people. But, you know, if you do feel that way, it's okay to leave here, you know, and figure things out.
It doesn't mean you don't love the place or the people. You just got to do what's right for you.
That's right.
Well, I feel like it, honestly, it helped you out because, like, even when you did come back, yes. I mean, look what you did. You brought something home for us.
Well, I always say, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I do believe that. And I think that going away kind of, and me, you know, I ended up getting pregnant with Scarlett, my first child. And that's kind of why I moved back because, I mean, I was brought up here. So, other people, they do it alone, you know, outside of this area, but I didn't want to do it alone. You know, yeah. I wanted to have family, and I didn't want my kids to be raised without their family around. So that's why I moved back, and I remember crying. It's sad, but I remember crying because I did not want to come back here.
Yeah.
But I did it anyway, and I'm glad I did because, you know, even though there were so many negative aspects about this place to me at the time and, you know, growing up, there were still so many, like now that I look back, positive things that, you know, I'm thankful for being able to be raised here because I think it shapes people, not everyone, but I think it shapes a lot of people and it makes them eccentric. It makes them different. And when if they do go outside of this area, they flourish a lot of the time because they're different. People can
we
see
are
that.
Different.
Yeah, people can see that, and they're like, I like them, you know, because they're not, you're not like everyone else.
Well, I think a lot of people forget that we have that home mentality. Well,
that's
because I say that a lot. Like back home, you know, we do this.
Yes.
But you know, like we just have that homey feel. Like I don't see a stranger. If you need help, I'm going to help you.
That's how it is.
You know, we don't care to, you know, get down and dirty if we need to help somebody out. We give the clothes off our back. There ain't no way that we could see and see a person walk around that's homeless. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. There's somebody that would take you home.
To see it.
And I will say that although not everyone is great, there is that anyone, even the people that might not like you, they would do that for you.
That's very true. Because even myself, I don't particularly have anyone that I dislike, but if I did and I saw them struggling, I know that I would do something to help
them. It's just the way we're raised here. Everybody is like, it's a village, you know.
Well,
everybody.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're committed to a fault sometimes. Like,
yeah,
we will give everything, even parts of ourselves, to people, you know, just to help them out, even if, because I've always had the mentality, and I know I get it from my family, is, well, it don't matter what they do to me as long as I know that I'm doing for them and it's okay.
That's a good mentality to have.
Yeah, it's just,
you know,
good,
like,
to
you can't, because I always, a lot of people used to, they're using you. Well, you can't be used unless you're, you know, you let somebody use you.
That's right.
That's true.
So,
and I think that mentality might hurt us in the art world in a way too, because we're not looking out for number one.
No, yeah, we're so polite and we love everybody and we want to see everybody succeed.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, that work does not work out in our favor. But that's why we're trying to do the things that we're doing.
I just think that we need to make a clear line on what the ethics are in art.
That's very true.
You know, like we said in the past, we've had, and it happens a lot around here just because it's not so prominent, and you know, we have people copy work and then pass it off.
Yeah, that does happen.
But I just don't even think that they really understand what they need to do that way. Like, you know,
just because they need educated. That's really all it is. And that's why I think that us doing the events that we've been trying to do, like Art in the Yard, is very, very important. Because it's giving everyone an equal playing field to put their work out there. But it's also kind of teaching people, this is what you do.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is how you help each other. It's not like with the feminism idea of lean in. Don't just lean in for, you know, your gender. Lean in for all your people.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's where we stand out a little bit, just because, you know, there are still those people around here that could give a crap about what certain people do. But I can tell you right now, like, I know people that struggle with drugs, and some people wouldn't give them anything. You know, wouldn't let them have a job or anything just because they're on drugs. But those people would work for you in a heartbeat. I mean, they don't, a lot, most of them don't even throw, their children come first, regardless of the drugs. And away from here, I don't think they can really say that.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to look at someone's story and not just the stereotype.
Yeah.
And we aren't bad for getting stereotypes here, and we're trying to break that.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we've got really bad stereotypes.
We want to shine a positive light on our area. And, I, you know, living here my whole life, I've never lived anywhere else. I moved from the head of the river a little closer to town, literally.
Yeah.
But something that we have growing up is we have really strong mentors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, the first one was my mother, because she painted. Mm-hmm. She was always an artist. Even today, she still always works with her hands. And the second was a little later in life in college, and it was Tom Whitaker, the great and wonderful Tom
Most
Whitaker.
People, I mean, a lot of people can say that Tom Whitaker, even for me, he was too.
He had a big impact.
He did.
And he knew my mother.
Yeah.
When I came into college, I was very excited to take his intro to art class, and it was an experience that I wouldn't trade for anything, because he is a trip. I remember walking into class one day, and he was just blaring American Pie. Because we were going to talk about Vincent Van Gogh that day, and he was going to play that, you know, what's his name that sung American Pie? He did a song about Vincent Van Gogh also. And it led into weird territory with just clapping and singing American Pie in class. But it was a lot of fun. And he knew my mother, and he always enjoyed my mother's work. So I felt very happy to know that. I was nervous at first to see if he was going to like what I do, because I've seen his work. I was very intimidated by him.
Yeah.
But he ended up being a very good friend of mine after college. But I have one very funny memory that he wanted us all to bring in just different kinds of folk art. And I brought a quilt of my mother's. And I didn't know she'd named the quilt. And it was it's a beautiful quilt. It's like part crazy quilt, part patch quilt. She hand embroidered it all. She hand quilted it all. It's beaded. It has embroidered flowers. And I show it to the class, and he's talking about how beautiful it is. And he's like, what's the name of it? And I didn't realize people named quilts like the name paintings.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think to ask. And I just said, it matches the bedroom. And rather than make fun of me or laugh at me, he just simply clapped and said, it matches the bedroom, everybody. And he's just, when it comes to mentors, he's like the top for everyone, I think, around here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's just got he's all-around good person.
He's a ray of sunshine. That's the only way I know how to describe him. I mean, when he walks into a room, you know he's somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could listen to him talk all day, too.
And the way he speaks, he says what he means, and it's not, he just doesn't talk to ramble.
Yeah.
You know, he's always got meaning.
Yeah.
What do you girls think? Do you have any particular people you feel like are a mentor or have been a mentor to you or someone close to you?
I think, I mean, personally, Tom Whitaker, was to me as well. Growing up as, you know, an artist, I always admired him, and I thought it was so inspiring that someone from our town, because he is from Sayersville, not mm-hmm. just the area.
Yeah.
So someone from our town could make it, you know, because he has yeah. made it. That's his job, and that's his life, and it has been his entire life.
Yeah, that's like every artist's dream. It's his life.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I think his website even says the world's greatest Appalachian artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, I mean, not really. I think he was the main person.
Yeah. I think because we have so many limited people that doesn't really get far. I yeah. think when somebody like that actually gets recognized and you can see and, you know, like we've been to Apple Day probably our whole entire life, which is in Paintsville. But, you know, like even in Founders Day, you know, I can just, I can remember just going past his booth at yeah. Apple Day and just, you know, being like, what? He's from Sayersville?
Yeah.
And I'm yeah. just like, he's so no centric. Way.
And it's amazing. So neat that a lot of his work is so centered around Sayersville. They're so,
I know,
like all yeah. of it really.
He's done portraits of actual people from Sayersville, and they're some of his best work, in my opinion.
There's one that I love where it's black and white watercolor, which I'm a watercolor junkie because I love watercolor. Mm-hmm. But he it's a, I don't even know, I can't remember the name of it, but it's an old guy with scruffy beard and old one of those old little coal mining hats.
Yeah.
He's sitting there drinking moonshine with his eyes closed. And it's a beautiful painting. It's very simple, but... You know, yeah. it is somebody from here, but he does a lot of interesting scenes, and still to this day, he has Facebook. He will post, which I love seeing anything yes. he posts. He will post pictures just that he takes with just an old camera or something mm-hmm. of like just something that he sees out and about that he wants to paint, you know, it's just in this area.
But he's so encouraging on Facebook.
And he always is like, you can use these, you know.
And he'll comment if you post work. If you ever get a comment in person or online from Tom Whitaker on your work saying strong.
Yeah.
Just the word strong with an exclamation point, you've done something.
Yeah.
Because he only says that about stuff that he genuinely thinks is
he
strong.
Won't say it unless he means
most of the time, if he likes it but it's not quite there, he'll just be like, yes.
Yeah.
Just the word yes. And he's just so positive about everything. I've never, ever seen him shoot someone's work down, ever. And I think that's
important.
That's very important. Yeah. But, you know, we're kind of doing that. We're kind of trying to be each other's mentors here yeah. within just us three girls and our friends.
Yeah, just in our own little group chat that we have amongst, we will post, I don't know how many pictures we've posted that we've done to each other. Like, what do you think about this?
Always uplifting each other.
Honest but positive, you know.
Yeah, like even if we give critiques, like, you know.
It's
like,
a positive
like,
way.
You know, then yeah. you look back, you stand back, and you're like, oh, yeah, I need to do that.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it'd be important for all of our listeners and all of our artist friends to do the same, to not only think of yourself as an artist, but think of yourself as a beacon to other artists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always. I mean, I have a problem with being, like, crass with people. I've learned that I need to, like, back off just a little bit. It's like, I'm
you
not
get
coming,
honest.
I'm
you
not coming from, a, like, a mean place, but it just sounds awful. And I say, I'm like, no. That picture came off the internet. What you did?
Yeah, she'll call you on it. She don't care, which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good because you're not allowing people to just skate by.
No, well, yeah, just, but, you know, like, I wish I could be a little bit nicer.
But
what about you, Jess?
What?
Mentor-wise.
Mentor. Honestly, when I grew up, I really didn't know anybody that painted on a personal level. Like, if I seen somebody paint, I can remember the first time that I tried to paint, and that's because my grandma used to yard sale a lot. She was one of those people that go to the stockyard. She even went to Bull Creek when it came about selling stuff. That's just how she made her extra money. And she found me an old paint kit, and it was used.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it, and I was just like, I've had like these little cards. I don't even know where it came from, like a stationery set or something that somebody gave me, because like we didn't have much money for that stuff. So anything I got, even back then, I kept it. So I used to have a drawer in one of my bottom dressers that I would, you know, I never kept clothes in. It was just all my, that was my potential drawer.
Yeah, you started early.
But I watched a, I watched a KET, you know, as PBS kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I watched a doc on Monet, and I seen his, I don't even remember the name of it, but it's got flowers in a field, and I guess as you get closer, it just looks like a bunch of random dots. Mm-hmm. But as you get further away, you can see the picture appear.
Yeah.
And that to me was amazing. And I used to sit in my room for hours trying to recreate what he did. Just dotting, you know, just like.
I love that.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that's a good
and
story.
Then, you know, Mr. Bob Ross, even though people will get me on that one.
I loved him. Everybody loves him around here.
I loved him. I love what he did. You know, he taught me a lot about, like, not getting on to myself if I made a mistake. Oh,
yeah.
Well, if I made a random line, oh, that's a tree.
Yeah.
That ain't maybe random. That's why we're the encouraging souls that we are. We love Bob Ross.
And I used to love his squirrel friends.
Yes.
And they would pop up out of his hair. It was the awesomest thing. And, you know, kids, I was like, oh, you can keep a squirrel. So, but, I didn't know it until I got older. My mom actually drew characters and stuff. You know, I think the way that I even found out that she could draw was we wanted a coloring sheet, and I didn't have a coloring book, and she said she would just draw it for me. So she paused a Nintendo game, Mario, and he was like sitting on a dolphin, and she drew it. I mean, she sat down, she drew it. She,
that's awesome.
And, you know, that's my coloring sheet. And then, you know, as I got older, my granny had kept a folder of all the stuff that she used to draw when she was younger, and it was like Yogi Bear and Snoopy and just a bunch of old cartoons that, you know, was back in the day. Mm-hmm. When she was growing up. It was like, oh my God, I didn't even know you could draw. So
I think that's, those stories from you are inspiring, because, like, as a parent now, I'm very, I've always been the type of person where I've always wanted to be supported by my family and my parents. Like, no matter what that I did, you know, what I wanted to do, it's so nice to have that support.
Yeah.
Yeah. What people don't understand is that it starts at home. And, like, if you're growing up in a family that can't support you or won't support you because they disagree with you.
Yeah.
That's wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you break a kid's spirit when you don't allow them to be their self.
And I'm a firm believer of not ever breaking someone's spirit, and don't break your kid's
absolutely.
Spirit.
Well, like, I think it's hard. I can even see that it's hard for me, because I want my kids to be well-rounded. And, like, Addison, I don't even know what happened. Like, that was a strike of luck, because that kid can do anything. I mean, she's one
talented.
Of those people that can just pick up anything easy, do anything easy. It just comes natural to her, and she's very easy. Now, you put her brother on the other hand, you know. He's a smart kid, and he loves things, but he's not really into sports, which is, you know, we're trying, you know, just to keep him active, keep him into something.
Yeah.
You know, sports-wise, because I don't feel like it's healthy for somebody just to sit in their room all day. But, you know, like, he loves video games. He loves to read. He loves comics. He loves, you know, to draw. And I love every bit of that. And I encourage him to do it. But I told him, I'm like, but you still got to get outside, man. I mean, you're
even if it's just taking your paper outside and sitting outside,
that's what I'm telling
and drawing.
That's why I love summer, because he's a swimmer kid. You know, he likes to swim. But I tell him, I'm like, just take yourself outside and it's fine, you know. But he takes that as, oh, I'm going to take my Switch outside and sit in the, I'm going to sit in the treehouse and I'm going to play my game.
And I have noticed, like, my kids are younger than Jess's. They're 5, 4, and 2. But they all love art. And I guess that's because, you know, you've been raised by me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's all that I do every single day. That's been my entire existence. I think that it's, I had an experience not too long ago where I was working on a piece, and at the end I'd let it dry, and I was kind of doing some splatter stuff on it. And I was using this specific brush because it was rough and easier to do the splatter with. And I guess I didn't even realize, but Scarlett was paying attention to what I was doing. And after I was finished, she was like, "That looks so good, Mom." And I was like, "Thank you."
Aww.
And so I go put it up and in my little room and let it dry and all this. And I come back in there and she has sat down and she had like painted something and she was using that same brush and doing that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You know, I remember that also.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about that. And that's a memory I didn't even realize I had.
And it was kind of like one of those moments where I just looked and I was like, you know, they watch everything I do.
They do.
They pay really attention. Because
I did the same. I remember seeing my mom make little paint dots by tapping her brush.
Yeah.
And I did it.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even thought about that in years until you said that.
And it makes me feel good because I think, well, I'm doing something right, you know, because those kind of moments are validating for a parent.
Well, you know, like mine's a little bit older, but, you know, because I have one getting ready to go in high school and a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, but, you know, they will, and it will. I mean, honestly, yours is still really small, so it's gonna, like, every now and then it'll surprise you what they do. But like, mine are at the age where they'll come to me and be like, "Mom, how do I do this? Show me how to do this." Or, you know, Bryce is really into the spray paint that I do, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I tell him, I'm like, you know, like, and we'd have to buy you a respirator if you wanted to do spray paint. But he's intently watching what I do when I draw and stuff. And he'll ask me, he's like, "Well, how do you do this?" And I'm like, you just have to practice, but draw the same person over and over again until you think he looks right. And like, we bought a dry erase board from the dollar store the other day because we're getting ready to, because I homeschooled this year. So we're getting ready to review.
Yeah.
And, I just felt like it would be easier for him to do his math on that and just erase it. But anyway, he was sitting in the back of the van and he's like, "Well, can I draw on this while we wait on Addie?" Because mine decided to be a pageant queen this summer. And we were waiting for her on practice and he was just sitting there drawing, and it came with two little black magnets, I guess, that you can put paper on it. And he put the magnets in the middle and then he drew a face. And he's like, "Look, I drew an interactive person. You can take his eyes off and you can put his eyes on."
So smart. Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, that's cool, man.
But you know, not only are you, especially with Brooke, are you making, you know, being a light for your children as artists, you've opened the art bar.
Yeah.
And the art bar is gonna be the biggest influence in Sayersville.
Yeah,
like, because not only are you teaching them, you're super encouraging as a teacher, and you're getting a bigger audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And affecting a lot more
the,
lives.
The kids show that you hosted, it was
so all wonderful. Awesome.
And just to see that, you know, like, I know a few parents that are like, "Oh."
Yeah.
But, you know, like, all the parents that showed up, they were just so encouraging to their kids.
Were.
And they were so proud of them
to see that.
Like, they just, around here, I had never been to an art exhibit until I went, I think it was Aaron that took, it was maybe one of your first ones with the art tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and it just kind of ignited something back in me that I'd love to do it, because I always like creative, you know, like doing crafts and stuff. And I know that you all like getting on me for saying crafts, but you know, like making flowers for graves and stuff for people. I did that a couple years. And
I mean, crafts have their place,
you know, and I've painted
not bad.
The primitive stuff for people. But, you know, it just seeing all the kids being so encouraged, it was amazing.
It was. Yeah. And when I did move back here, like I was talking earlier, you know, I had my three kids. And then that's when I kind of thought, you know, I have to do something to kind of make a difference if I can. And I had no idea how it would turn out, because I knew how this area is, so I was just kind of up in the air, and I put all my money and effort into it and just kind of went with it. And it worked, because I guess it was needed.
It was definitely
needed. We were like an art desert, and we had we had one artist out in the desert, and then here came Brooke, and she brought a crowd.
And she turned it into an oasis.
Yeah.
But we're running out of time. But before we end this, I would like to ask you girls one question and see what you girls think. Do you think that, especially as a creative person, who, if you leave, do you think you ever really just truly come home again and be part of it all, just like you never left?
Well, I think you bring stuff back with you. Yeah. I mean, Brooke is a testament to that. But I think there is so much that we can learn from stepping out of our comfort zone. That's our big problem around here is so many people are so comfortable. They're so worried to step out of their comfort zone. They don't feel like they can be their true self unless they leave.
Yeah. And I think that I know you all can relate to this, that leaving, you know, even if you don't move, you're just gone for like 2 weeks or something. Yeah. And like, but you can leave here and then you can come back a year later and it's like you did not leave.
I tell everybody, I mean, when you step into Sayersville, you've kind of like stepped into the twilight zone.
It is.
Nothing ever changes.
Like a black hole.
The biggest thing that we've had change lately is the road.
Yeah. And that's threw everyone into pure chaos. But
yeah.
What Jess said is true, though. I mean, I did leave for a long time, for years and years, but still, it was home. It was home.
It'll always be,
you know,
home.
And it doesn't, nothing will change that. No matter where I am or where I've been, you know, coming back was no different.
Yeah.
It was just
I would say people, I mean, honestly, people are so excited when people come back. They're like, what'd you do? You know,
yeah,
what have you been
so
doing?
True.
And they're so excited to see you in there. And most people are so welcome.
And I think it's important, though, too. If you do leave and you come back and that's the right thing for you, that's great, but bring back what, just like you were saying, bring back what you learned.
Yeah.
And don't just be here.
You can't change anything by just being the same. You have to, you want change, you got to do, you know, just like we're doing here, you know, with the podcast, we're trying to bring in more art. We're trying to do art in the yard, bring in an art festival. It's not just about us, you know, selling our work and getting our work out there. It's about bringing things to this community so that we can help future generations.
100%.
I think that is absolutely the perfect way to end it. Don't look for the light. Be the light.
Be the light.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. We want to give a big shout out to our friend, Brittany Rodenbaugh. She is Brittany's Journey on YouTube. She's amazing. And she did our vinyl stickers for Rear in Appalachia. And we love you, Britt. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being awesome. Everyone, be sure to go subscribe to her channel. And while you're at it, subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah,
we're on YouTube.
We are on Google too.
Yes, we're on Google Podcasts also.
Yeah.
Recent development. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like, rate, comment, subscribe, follow, and stalk us on everything. Just search Weird Appalachia. You'll find us. We're not hiding. So
not
be
much.
Sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch the weird. See y'all next time. Stay weird.